Blog Talk Radio.
This is Enterprise Marketing, the Future, brought to you by Marketing Operations Partners.
Does your organization have a marketing operation team that adds value? How will marketing operations continue to have an impact and be a strategic player going forward? Welcome to Enterprise Marketing, the Future, the show which focuses on how the future of marketing is about performing real-time, being an agile organization to make the most of evolving opportunities to impact customers and profits. I'm your host, Helene Eichler. Join us to stay up on trends and best practices for marketing thought leaders that fuel organizations' current and future marketing effectiveness. This afternoon, we're excited to have Judy Ash, Head of Corporate Marketing at Big Switch Networks, and Gary Katz, Chief Strategy Officer at Marketing Operations Partners, with us to discuss how marketing operations has evolved and what a must-have function it is going forward. Welcome, Judy and Gary.
Hi, Helene.
Hey, Helene and Gary. Really great to be here. Thank you for having me today.
Always great to hear your voice, Judy.
Great, Judy and Gary. Gary, I want to start with you. What are some good approaches organizations should consider when they're building a solid marketing operations function?
Well, I think the first thing that organizations need to do when they're thinking about marketing operations is they need to think about what they're trying to accomplish as a marketing organization. And they need to think about their goals. They need to think about what they've already got in place in terms of processes, systems, alignment type of scenarios, and so on. And all those things need to be considered in developing a charter that will then drive the types of work and the types of contributions that the marketing operations team will make. So I'd start there.
And Judy, what would you add to that? I know when we first met, you were very instrumental in marketing ops at NetApp, I believe. I mean, what did you find was important?
Yeah, so as I'm listening to Gary with his answer, and yes, NetApp, I had the opportunity to really enter marketing ops at an interesting time when technology was really starting to drive change in just our process as marketers. And now, as I think about it, I'm at a startup. And marketing operations has a very different meaning in a startup than it does in an organization at scale. And from my perspective, it's even more critical in a startup. And I had, frankly, a set of beliefs and practices that I took from NetApp to my company following NetApp, which was Enphase Energy. And that's a mid-sized company, kind of in the 400, call it $350 to $400 million revenue range. And that's, you know, significantly smaller than a $10 billion NetApp corporation, where marketing operations is really about how do you drive efficiency and scale across a number of functions and what I would call the core functions around product launch and customer engagement and lead and demand generation, right? Demand gen practices. Taking that and scaling it down to a mid-sized company, operations means something different there. And then at a startup where we're, you know, about 150 people and ramping revenue, frankly, it's all about demand generation. And operations in that scenario is critical because our ability to measure impact on a campaign level, at a granular level, and understand how people flow through our content and how we really drive improvement in integrated marketing programs, again, to drive leads and MQLs, because everything is measured based on an MQL, completely different level of meaning. So these approaches that Gary has talked about and we've sort of built over our careers are punctuated at a really specific level, depending the size of your organization, the revenue velocity, the channel strategy, and the role of marketing inside the organization.
I'm really glad that, Judy, you shared that. I really didn't want to say a lot at first because I wanted to get the perspective out there of somebody that's on the inside. But it does really resonate with what I typically talk about and what Marketing Operations Partners talks about is the context that the company's in, which has a lot to do with its maturity as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
And maturity might be how long they've been in business. It might be how mature the marketing organization is. It might be how mature they are in terms of a particular type of initiative that they're trying to drive towards. So there are multiple dimensions of maturity to look at. And all those things really need to be understood. And you need to understand both where you are right now and where you're going to, where you're driving
mm-hmm.
to. Judy said something which I totally believe because, you know, we're more like a startup at Marketing Operations Partners than we are like, you know, an established enterprise. You know, we're not NetApp, that's for sure. Demand generation, lead generation, revenue is the lifeblood of the business. It's absolutely critical. One problem that companies have, and not one that Judy Ash would be at, that a lot of people I know are at that are not so bright or as well-informed, is that they have a tendency to just think about the right now. And they don't plan on how things are going to scale and grow over time and what they're going to need. And so they don't look around the corner very well. And they end up kind of doing, whatever... the thing to do of the day is, you know, whether that's been dictated, you know, from the C-suite or whether they've caught fire to some trend, you know, and everybody's just kind of riding that trend. And I think it's important that we don't limit our view in terms of where we can contribute in the organization both today and down the road. But we do have to be practical about it. Otherwise, you'll be working on things for your organization that your organization doesn't need yet or isn't ready for yet or can't follow through on.
Exactly. Yep. Agreed.
Great. Well, you both made some good points regarding sizes of organizations and marketing ops. What infrastructure and tools do you recommend to support this strategy that you both have discussed, depending on the size of your company? Judy, can you start?
I was about to jump in on that one. And the first thing that came to mind was when I started in marketing operations at NetApp, even before that at HP, frankly, the technology landscape was emerging for marketing, right? I mean, it just is emerging. And now, when you look at the landscape of tools that are available, I am not kidding, I get calls from vendors every day about some, frankly, sub-capability that's being automated as part of a particular function, whether it's, you know, sub-function on profiling and insights and predictive analytics, or email marketing and SEO and the web. I mean, like all of it, we have to think about it systemically and the way customers engage. So my fundamental premise is that think about the way your customer and your audience individually, how they engage with your content and how they make decisions. Back to the old buyer's journey and sort of core concept around how do you want to leave a lasting impression and how do you ultimately get this individual to separate from their money and buy your product. And so today, with the rate of information being available to people, content is it's king. It's like you've got to have thought around every stage and every type of conversation that you want to have, at least the primary ones. I think every may be too extreme, but the primary conversations you want to have and the way you want to inform people. And then, you know, frankly, email marketing, I think we have to be careful. It's super easy to spam people, but the technology and the infrastructure that are sort of must-haves is an email engine, a Salesforce automation tool, a CRM tool, tools that support your website and tell you, you know, kind of give you the analytics insight of who's visiting, how many, how long are they staying, what content are they consuming. Because at the end of the day, we need to know what works and what doesn't, and we need to measure that. So the tools associated with each touch point, the channels, how people are searching your topics, and, you know, what keywords are they searching on, and how do you then make sure that your website is optimized in order to capture their attention, make them stay, hopefully fill out a form or pick up the phone and call you. And so this is not a trivial question, this one. It's and you know, Gary, because of the MarTech landscape, it's pretty confusing. There are multiple players in a category. There are people who talk about doing predictive analytics as an example, and you really have to dig into what do they mean by that and the tool provide and all of that. So it takes a fair amount of time to really sort through. And in my startup world, the tools are pretty straightforward. It's email engine, contact database, CRM tool, SEO and support for my website, and frankly, insights tools so I can understand companies, sort of begin to understand and peel back account-based marketing and identify target companies and segments with individuals and personas that matter. So the tool set associated with those capabilities through that process are sort of step one and essential.
I think that's
Gary?
Really well framed. You know, I love the practical nature of that. I guess, you know, being the theoretician and the strategist, I would also like to offer, you know, a point of view as far as that's concerned, because the operating framework that you go about, you know, the model that you use to go about the business is really critical in making sure that everything, as Judy said, works systemically. And so when, you know, if we step back and, you know, I think the original, you know, point of the conversation is how do you set up a marketing operations organization that maybe you haven't set up yet, or you're bringing somebody new into the organization, you know, or you've been assigned the marketing operations job and you're taking it over from somewhere else, how can you put some structure to it that helps you do all the things Judy is describing so that they're not transactions, but they actually are integrated types of activities that build into the kind of outcomes you want. So at Marketing Operations Partners, we focus a lot on maturity as a journey. And we view that journey includes different phases. We have one phase that we call activating the system, and we view that across multiple types of building blocks. So for as a start point for any company, when you think about marketing operations, you ought to be thinking about the ecosystem, both within in terms of who you are as a company, you know, what your culture is, what your norms are as an organization, what kind of decision-making criteria that you have, and also the external part of it. And this is the real important part because you ultimately have to drive all your conversations internally to something that's going to be of value externally and creates a business model for you that's sustainable and profitable. So we call that ecosystem. And when you have that ecosystem and you have that alignment both internally and externally as a start point, you can have the right conversations to develop the right strategy, which then helps you with continuous types of decision making. The types of things that we talk about, you know, after you've got the strategy well aligned between what the enterprise needs and what marketing does, then we talk about guidance, which is really things like roadmaps, you know, how to get from here to there, that builds upon the strategy, but that takes into takes into account the types of stakeholder relationships that are critical in order to get the right level of buy-in, the right socialization, get the roles and responsibilities agreed to, make sure everybody is driving in one direction. And only then can you really, you know, from a fundamental standpoint, start to think about things like process and make real improvements and develop metrics that are really meaningful, you know, so that you're measuring what matters. And then the technology comes, you know, to after that, because it's got to support everything. Of course, you know, in reality, we know that, you know, companies already have the technology before they've done these things, right? And in some instances, there's a hunger to get a new piece of technology, and so we end up with point systems. So then how do you, you know, go back and retrofit this and still make it systemic when you've created kind of this siloed kind of disparate, you know, mass, if you will. So infrastructure and ecosystem are really the two areas we look at, and we start by, you know, the work that involves activating the system, building maturity, and then sustaining momentum. So I think what Judy was talking about with the startup, you're going to be in that activate the system stage for a while, and you're going to have to do a number of stepping stones to get to where you want, you need to go, to where you're actually in that next phase, and so on.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Where, Gary, I'll start with you on this one. What are some examples of companies that you've worked with or that you've seen that you view having done this successfully?
Well, I mean, clearly, you know, when we were working with NetApp, we were very impressed with the work they're doing. The challenge they had, you know, which Judy will attest to, is that they had constant changeover in leadership at the CMO level. So, you know, she can talk more to what was able to stick and what didn't stick quite as well. But, you know, certainly companies like that are very sophisticated. You know, kind of the companies that you would think about, you know, Dell has got some very sophisticated type of marketing operations activities going on. You know, of all types, including talent, which is an area that not as many companies are quite as up to speed on. You know, a small company, I like to point out somebody like New Relic that has been quite sophisticated, especially in the types of things that Judy was describing in terms of getting campaigns and, you know, aligned to customer journeys, making sure that the content is strong. I mean, Marketo is, you know, uses their own technology extremely well because of the type of content that they've developed and the kind of fandom that they've created amongst their customer base and their partners and so on. And so those are just a few. There are many, many examples of companies that are doing this well in the type of area, you know, or the type, that point in maturity that, you know, that Judy's company is at, and kind of an equivalent basis of that, you know, in terms of big companies, been a lot of progress in terms of that revenue piece. Where the opportunities are and where there's still a lot of work to be done is around customer experience and making sure that marketing isn't just going out there and creating brand promise and then, you know, finding that the company can't live up to that brand promise because the customer experience isn't there because there's too many hassles involved in trying to do business with the company, and it just reflects negatively on, you know, what the company is saying versus what they're actually doing.
Mm-hmm. Judy, can you talk to that in terms of where you've seen it done successfully?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of step back to a frame, mental frame that I use, and this is something that one of my favorite CMOs that I worked with and for taught her organization, and it was think big, start small, move fast. And so think that, you know, I'm a planner at heart, right? And when companies take the time to think about their think big, which is the vision of where they want to be in, call it 3 years, because I think anything beyond 3 years is like you can't really see that far out. You can't. And they take time to think about what is it for this initiative? What is it for this campaign, this brand program, marketing operation, even at a function level, when you're creating marketing operations or you're evolving it, what is it we want this organization's impact to be and how would we articulate that vision? And then you translate that into start small, which are 3 to 5, not more, actions that you're going to prioritize to get yourself there, and you focus an organization on deploying and acting against those 3 to 5. And the move fast is what's the low-hanging fruit within those 3 to 5 that really create momentum and get an organization aligned around a purpose and what you're trying to achieve. Organizations that do that well, I think, have the strongest ability to succeed. And I saw NetApp do that, of course, not just in marketing operations, but across the marketing team. And even though there was a fair amount of leadership turnover, you still come down to, especially in an organization that size, you still have teams that are operating and, you know, executing to the business because you can't afford to take your eye off the customer. And regardless of leadership change, you still have to support the sales organization, drive revenue in the field. You know, the basic tenets of business don't really change. And so, you know, in my experience, organizations that apply that basic frame, regardless of what's done, right? And for me, I've seen, you know, of e-marketing and demand generation, reorg structure that comes with that, because once you have systems in place, people's jobs change. The way they used to work isn't the same anymore. So the processes shift, and then people in an organization structure have to shift in order to get work done and be productive. And so it's an evolution for success. And I think, you know, as much as an organization, you know, take in a stepwise fashion and deploy platforms and, you know, measure programs effectively, it's that alignment that gets created that is the success, the driver of success of teams. So kind of my first comment. I've seen individual projects go really well. I've seen systems projects fail tremendously. You go,
yeah.
How did we get here? And so to that, it's more of a, you know, and this sounds a little cheesy, but it's like, how do you, understanding how we failed and learning from that so that next time through it's we're carrying forward what we learned from a project experience. And frankly, that can be failure, but it can also be great success in a project, because I can tell you there's no systems project that's ever easy, and they're always fraught with, you know, complications and, oh my God, I didn't know that's what that meant. When you said this, you meant that, and I really took it to mean something completely different. So it's not until you get your hands dirty and you're in the midst of the project, deploying the system, or, you know, working on a campaign in detail, or trying to identify net new leads, or understanding your audience better, there's gritty work that has to happen in every single one of those projects. And so it's the, you know, the ability to problem solve, collaborate with my peers that drives success. The ability to make a decision, good, bad, or indifferent, to move you forward, and timing of how you make that decision so that progress, you can realize success and contribution back to the organization. So to me, I've seen that in companies like NetApp with high-performing teams, in my own global team at Enphase, where, you know, we built from 6 people to 25. And in order to do that, you have to have an operational model that works and drive change as the business grows, right? So that is a tremendous opportunity, frankly, to build operations from scratch. And now, you know, as I step into this role in the startup, it's, you know, it's again, stepping in on a great foundation and knowing what are the core things that have to happen in order to drive leads, and how do we stay focused on that and optimize. And it's a constant, you know, implement, measure, improve, implement, measure, improve, constantly. And I think those are the defining characteristics of success. I don't know, maybe that's too long-winded, but that's what I think.
Great. Well, you've given some great examples there. Now, where do you think organizations, Judy, I'll start with you, where do you think organizations typically miss when they're planning and executing a marketing operations function? You know, where do they just don't get it, so to speak?
You know what? For me, my experience is when I don't ask enough questions to understand truly what's happening, and I think it happens most when frankly, when we're buying a technology and there's one part of the conversation at the beginning when you don't know what you don't know, and then when you actually purchase whatever it is and you start to deploy and plan, it's devil's in the detail. So it's just asking questions, making sure you're thinking things all the way through, taking into consideration that, you know, when people get into projects like this, there's usually a lot of change. You usually have to, like, shift your direction because you learned something in the detail that you didn't understand before in terms of how things really work, and adjust. So that's my biggest learning, frankly, is am I asking all the right questions, and am I understanding clearly what people mean by what they say? How is this really going to affect my team and my organization and my company if we do this? Those are the big things. Gary, what have you seen? Because you work with lots of companies, so I would imagine you've got some real doozies.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, certainly what you've just shared really is kind of fundamental in terms of making sure that you don't find yourself going down rat holes or making investments mm-hmm. that you shouldn't be making because you haven't really thought it through. You haven't asked the right questions. I think too often people move too fast in that way because they want to solve a problem. They want to do something mm-hmm. as opposed to nothing. What I've seen, you know, where things break down is that there isn't the right level of management commitment. I know that you know that, Judy, from your experience. And fortunately, I think you've been pretty successful getting that right level. But a lot of times, they haven't checked out that the commitment is there, or maybe they get it once, but they don't keep going back and checking over and over and making sure that communication's there. Because, you know, when you lose buy-in partway through an initiative, there's nothing worse than, you know, starting something you can't finish. And, you know, everybody gets excited. It's a change process. They're all excited. They're expecting something to happen. And then the commitment is withdrawn. And they're, you know, it's so painful. And then, you know, the next time you try to do one, people don't believe it's going to work or it's going to happen
mm-hmm.
or it's going to be followed through. So that's the horror story that I see. You know, the other is that you don't really think of things systemically. You just try to solve your own problem. And thus you add to the silos that you already have in your organization, right? and thus you both create, you know, a lot of duplication of effort. You maybe could, you know, have some economies of scale or some shared resources that are not shared, you know, so you're wasting all sorts of money on top of it and resources. Maybe, you know, we've had situations, I won't say who the company is, but it's a very big company in the semiconductor business, where they didn't know, you know, how many people were truly in the marketing organization because of how, you know, I mean, certain people were put into the marketing organization because they had a project manager title, whether they were actually doing project manager work or not. You know, so now all of a sudden the marketing organization has that overhead assigned to it. Well, it's looking like a cost center, not a value center when that happens. And it may not have even been the truth. You know, so those types of things, one side's not talking to the other side. You know, that's why, you know, we're running around with iPhones, for instance, and we're not running around with Sony Walkmans or whatever, you know, because, you know, the entertainment division didn't talk to the mobile division. They were doing their own thing. You know, so that's the kind of the worst, you know, case scenario of not, you know, taking a systems approach. And then just the investment in deploying something, whether it's technology or it's some kind of methodology, some kind of process, you know, that's expected to be adopted by the organization. I think companies underestimate a lot of that. You know, in the case of technology, I think they focus a lot on the technology and the guidance that can be provided to them by the technology company. And if they're smart, you know, they'll go to an outside person, you know, or a company that works closely with that technology. But they still miss a lot of the components of, you know, of a successful technology, you know, deployment, staying too close, you know, to the technology part of it, right? The features and the functions and so on, and not realizing the impact on people, you know, the data issues that are required, what is going to mean in terms of developing content, for instance, right? Because if you have a great marketing automation system, you know, but you have no, you don't have adequate content, you know, it's like having a meat grinder without the meat or something like that. So I think that there's just generally not enough thought about implications, about, you know, where we're really trying to drive this to and what that outcome is going to look like beyond I need more leads or I need this thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I think that's right on.
Well, thank you both. We're just about out of time. I'd like to thank you both for joining us and sharing your insights this afternoon.
Thank you.
Elaine.
You're welcome. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.